Amen. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Brandy. Open your Bibles here tonight to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And while you're turning there, I have a question. Has anybody ever gotten lost before? Like you had directions and you wanted to end up this place, but you ended up way some far away. I've gotten lost. Anybody else gotten lost before? Like really turned around, like really bad. It's not a good feeling, is it? You know, it's especially when you figure out, oh, this is where I am and this is where I should be. Because every minute you go the wrong way this way, you got to, if you drive an hour the wrong way, guess what? You got to drive an hour back just to get right back where you got off on the wrong spot. It's not a good place. And I think we can all relate to it. But what about spiritually? If you ever make a wrong turn spiritually and you end up in a place where you realize I really shouldn't be here. Well, tonight in Isaiah chapter 30, I want to look at some verses here and then we'll go to 1 Samuel to look at some other verses here. Isaiah 30, chapter 30, verse 15, the Lord says this, "For thus saith the Lord God," verse 15 of Isaiah chapter 30, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. For ye say, no, we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon or a pole on the top of a mountain, as an ensign or a banner on top on a hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment," or justice. "Blessed are all they that," what are those next three words? "Wait for him." Let's pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what we're looking at here tonight. And Father, encourage our hearts and minds after the things of God. And Father, we all can have a heart for God, but sometimes we have feet of clay. And Father, sometimes we take a road that we think might be good, but it ends us in a place where we're totally turned around where we shouldn't be. So Lord, help us tonight as we look at your word and what you have to say about this topic of just following hard after thee and waiting on thee in the long hours. And Lord, bless this word to our hearts. And Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your son, Jesus Christ, and brings glory to your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Well, I'd just like to look at this here for a minute, just break this down here, verses 15 in Isaiah chapter 30. "For thus saith," in verse 15, "the Lord God, the Holy One, in returning and rest." Now, God is looking for us. Now, you get the idea in verse 15. Returning means this is where you should be, but you're way somewhere over here. So as God's speaking here, he's speaking to believers in returning, okay? In other words, you're out of the way at some point, and rest shall, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. In other words, God's saying, this is where I want you, but you would not. Verses 16 and 17, this is how people get. See, sometimes in our minds, Satan will put an idea in our minds, and we think, God says this, but I think I got a better way. You know, God says this, but I think this will work better. And in other words, God's saying, verse 15, return. You're getting off track here. Verse 16, the believer said, no, for we will flee upon horses. We think this is a faster way to get there. We think this is a better way. And as God looks at this, he says, this is what the result's going to be. Therefore shall you flee. Okay, you want to flee? And we will ride upon the swift. You think you got a good plan? Therefore shall they that pursue you be what? Swift. In other words, when somebody's getting out of the will of God, yeah, you can be swift, but guess what? God can send something after you that's even swifter. In other words, you can't get out of what God wants you to do because God loves us. He wants us in the center of you. And then it gets even worse for those that take a wrong turn. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of five shall ye flee. In other words, of this person's life is, in other words, everything around them that they gain security in is just dissipating. It's gone. In other words, you have all this security, boom, all of a sudden everything that's your security is leaving. Now, God will put us in a position where our life in verse 16 and 17 can be falling apart. Verse 18, therefore the Lord will what? He'll wait for you to what? Return. Now, that I painted a picture here. I want to look at somebody in the Old Testament here. Now turn back here to 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel 27. I want to look at somebody in Scripture here. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 27, and David. Now, how many times is David mentioned in Scripture? Anybody know? Any guesses? Give me a number, any number. Huh? Okay, 100. Jim says 100. Jim, Bob is closer. It's over 1,000 times. If you take Jesus Christ and you take David, he is just right under as much as Christ. David is mentioned in Scripture over 1,000 times. Now, I want you, God mentioned this man's name over 1,000 times. Now, and David, now I want you to look carefully here. Now, what we just read in Isaiah, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Could that have happened, yes or no? No. Why do you say no, Bob?
God said he'd be the next king.
He said be next king. Okay, now David in his mind, he's thinking this as, now, again, I'm talking believers. We can't have a heart for God. David's a man after God's own heart, but guess what? Hey, he had feet of clay. Okay, we can have a heart for God, but we have feet of clay sometimes. David was pursued by Saul year after year. And if you're pursued by somebody year after year, that can get pretty what? Weary. You get tired. We can get emotionally drained, tired. When we get emotionally drained and tired, physically and emotionally wore out, our perspective sometimes changes. And we think this is a good thing to do. Now, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. God didn't tell him that. David told David that. A prophet didn't tell David that. God's word didn't tell David that. David told David that. And we have to be careful what we say to ourselves, self-talk. Because we can say some things to ourselves that is utterly a lie. You know, some people, they really beat up on themselves. I mean, some people say to themselves, you're no good. You're a loser. People say terrible things about themselves. God never said that. But you say that. But you have to be careful. David's self-talk wasn't good. He got discouraged. I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better. Now, this was his plan. He was going to flee. There's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Tell me a little bit about Philistines. They were what type of people? Idolaters. They were uncircumcised. They were those that did not know the true and living God. And Bob, you're exactly right. God did not tell him to do this. Now, in Isaiah 30, it talks about, you shall flee. We try to get this escape route because we feel the pressure over here. The pressure is so great over here that pressure pushes us to take a course of action that God didn't ordain. But we think it's good. I'm going to flee, just like Isaiah 30, going to flee. So David wanted to escape in the land of Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me. To seek me any more in all the coast of the land of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand. David arose and passed over with 600 men, and they were with him to Achish, the son of Machir, king of Gath. Now, in verse 2, if you get going down the wrong road, you take other people with you. If a dad starts going down the wrong road in the family, he can take the rest of the family with him. And for David, not only did he take his family, he took the family of 600 men with him. See, we all have influence. It's a serious thing when we start going down the wrong road, escaping speedily. We take others down with us. David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David and his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, Abigail, the Carmelitess, and Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought him no more again for him. Now, verse 4, does it appear that David had good success with his plan? Just if you stopped at verse 4, does it sound like, hey, this worked? Saul, what did Saul do? Stop pursuing him. So it appears that it what? It worked. Seemed like it worked at that point. Now, how do you think about God? How do you think God felt about David living in the land of Philistines? Verse 7, how long was David there? Verse 7 of 1 Samuel 27? Year and 4 months. Name me one psalm that David wrote when he was in the land of Philistines. You know what? How many wrote? Zero. The sweet psalmist of Israel, his music stopped. No psalms written when he was in a foreign land like that. You know, sometimes we think we have a good plan for our life, and it seems like initially it works, but let's see how this worked out for David. Well, and while he's there, verse 7, he dwelt in a year and 4 months. He went on all these raids, and every time he came back, Achish asked him, where'd you go? Well, I went to this part of Israel. I went here, and he had to cover all of his tracks. What did David have to do to Achish? He had to start lying to cover his tracks. How good was he at that? Verse 12, and Achish believed David. He's made his people Israel utterly abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant. He had Achish totally fooled. Totally fooled. Now, David was anointed to be what? The next king of Israel. And he's living in the land of Philistines. Well, okay, what do we read over here in Isaiah 30? Those that flee, you shall flee, but what shall Isaiah 30, those that flee after you shall what? You'll be swift, but guess what? They'll be what? Swifter. And no, for we shall flee upon horse. David said, I want to flee. Therefore, they that will ride upon the swift, therefore they that pursue you shall be swift. Okay. Well, let's see how this worked out for David. So he's living there. He's got everybody fooled. He's thinking it's good. And it came to pass in verse 28, in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together to warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, verse 1, know thou and surely thou shalt go with me to battle. Now, before he said he fought against Israel, but now he was getting pinned in a corner that he was going to have to. Now, when you get out of the will of God, guess what it does for you? It just gets worse and worse. In returning, you shall find rest. God wants us to be over here, but we're way over here. And David was way over here. Look how he answered this. Know thou assuredly, in verse 1, that thou shalt go out to with me in battle. And David said to Achish, surely thou knowest what thy servant can do. And David's probably thinking like, how do I get out of this one? You know what I can do. I got to go to battle. So you see how when God can kind of, if we're not in his will, he can start putting what? The pressure on us. Because David really should have never gone to the land of Philistines. I understand he got discouraged. I understand his feet of clay. We understand that. But God says, wait on me in the long hours. And Achish said to David, therefore I'll make thee keeper in my head, for he had this guy totally fooled. And Yeah. Well, if you move to chapter 29, we have Saul in here and everything with the witch of Endor. That's another story. But let's focus on David here tonight. All right, David's fine now. He's got to go to it. Now, how did he go to his men? He said, men, this is what's happening. Philistines are going to go to war with Israel, and they want us to join. And the men probably said, well, what do we do here, David? And David said, I don't know how we're going to get out of this, but let's just play along with this and see where this takes us. And so Philistines gather their armies at Aphek, and Israelites pitch by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. The Lord of the Philistines, they're reviewing their armies, verse 2, by hundreds and thousands, and David's and his men's pass rearward with Achish. Now, this is what the mercy, what did God say over here in Isaiah? That he, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be what to you? In verse 18 of Isaiah 30. Therefore the Lord shall wait that he may be what to you? Gracious. Now, how was David going to get out of this mess? He got himself in a terrible mess because he wasn't going to fight against Israel. I mean, he loved God's people. He wasn't going to go to battle against them with the Philistines, but he was trapped. There were all armies around him. He couldn't, where could he go? You got to go with me. And he didn't know how he's going to get out of it. Now, God put David in such a way, and we'll see this here shortly here. Okay, so they're marching with the Philistines, totally in the wrong place. Verse 3, then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews hear? Okay, these other commanders are looking at the generals like, what? And Achish said to the prince of the Philistines, is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, which has been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since the day he fell into me unto this day? And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. Now, see, this is God's graciousness. Because as they looked over, they said, Achish, you're so dumb. If David and his men go out to battle with us, guess what? If they turn us in the midst of battle, they'll be reconciled back to their people and this King Saul, and they'll be an enemy to us right in the middle of the battle. Send them back. That's God's grace. You ever get yourself in a situation, you don't know how you're going to get out of it? And God says, look, if you turn to me, I'll make a way out. And for David, God made this way that they could get out of this situation. And because of Philistines, the prince of the Philistines said in verse 5, is it not David of whom they sang one to another and dances and sing? Saul slew his thousands, David his 10,000. They didn't want David around. Open door to get out of this very tense situation. Well, Achish calls David, dismisses it. Go back to your place, go back to Ziklag. And next morning, verse 10, rise up early and leave. Verse 11, David and his men, chapter 29, they leave to go. But God wasn't done yet, because all they did was just take David out of this awkward situation and didn't get him where he needed to be. Because in chapter 27, David, tell me something that's missing here. And David said in his heart, verse 1, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me to do than a speedy escape into the land of Philistines. What did David not do in that verse? He did not pray. He didn't seek God. He didn't seek the prophets. He didn't seek counsel of God. He just said, this is what I'm doing. He was on his own. You know what God wanted to get David back to doing? Where he was focused back on God, not on his problems. Now see, now God's saying in Isaiah here, therefore will the Lord wait. He's going to put situations, and God's just going to stand back and say, okay, you're going to go the wrong way. I'm going to wait. When I wait, I'm going to put all these things in your life, and they're going to get you where you need to be back again. God's going to wait, because these circumstances are going to push us back in the direction we need to go. God said that he will wait, that he may be gracious unto you, that he will be exalted. So, David and his men, they go back to Ziklag where they're living. Except they had a problem. Chapter 30, verse 1. Came to pass when David and his men would come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south, Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Verse 2, they'd taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men, verse 3, came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire. It's like if you're coming home from work and you're looking at your house that you left in the morning, and all you see is just a slab when you get there. House totally gone. That's what David came back to the guy. Everything burnt to ground, gone. And that, for David in verse 4, David and the people, they lifted up their voice and wept. They had no more power to weep. It was so overwhelmingly distressing. David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. Now this, look at verse 6. And David was greatly what? Distressed. Will God put you in distress sometimes? Absolutely. He'll put you in distress if you're out of the way. If you've gone off the way and where you shouldn't be, God's going to put you in distress. But look what David did. For the people spake of stoning him because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. I mean, it was a bad situation. I mean, in the beginning of the, you know, he's going to have to fight against the children of Israel. He's stuck with all the army of the Philistines. Right? He didn't know how to get it. God delivered him. He gets back here. Now it gets even more intense. They're going to stone David. Because you know what these men said? David, if you hadn't gone here to Ziklag, this never would have what? Happened. And you took us here. And they were angry at David because he left the land of Israel and went the land of Philistines. And they knew, David, this is your fault. If you weren't here, this wouldn't have happened. What's the end of verse 6 say? But David what? Encouraged himself in the Lord his what? God. See, that's where God brings us. See, if we get out of the way, God will wait. He's going to wait till these circumstances all play out. Because he wants to get us to the point where we're back focused on God. And David got it. I mean, because verse 7, what's the first thing he did? And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord. That's just what God wanted to hear. Isaiah 30, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious in you, that therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And so for David here, he encouraged himself. And he had nobody else. Every man was going to stone him. You ever been alone? You ever made such a mess of everything that everywhere you turn, everybody's against you? That's what David felt like. But you know somebody that wasn't against him? It was his God. Because sometimes we get off that path and it can just, our whole life can crumble around us. But God's waiting. Uh-huh. Yep. You ain't a rump. And he was waiting to be gracious. And at that point, all of a sudden, when God sees that our heart is turned back to him, that's when God can move. Verse 8, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Now turn to Isaiah chapter 30 here. I want to read down some more verses. David said, shall I pursue after this troop? Verse 19 of Isaiah 30, for the people shall dwell in Zion in Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more, for he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. David was crying out to God. He was in distress. And when he shall hear, he will answer thee. And although the Lord give you the bread of adversity, was David tasting the bread of adversity right then? Absolutely. I mean, he had a whole loaf of that right there, that bread that was so hard to eat. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, that's what David felt like, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye shall turn to the right hand and when ye shall turn to the left. You're getting right back on course. You made the wrong turn in life. You went down the wrong road in life. God says, you're going to get your life straight down here. You're going to head straight, and I'm going to guide you. I'm going to give you teachers that will teach you the word of the Lord. And you will hear that voice behind you saying, this is the way, and walk ye in it. I don't know if you underline verses in your Bible. I got them verses underlined. I mean, they're just great verses to have underlined. Well, for David here, back in 1 Samuel 30, he started praying. He said, God, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God said to David, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And that's what happened in the text here. David pursued, and they were able to get everything back. And not only that, not only did they recover, not a man was lost, not a woman was lost. They got all their possessions back. But all the spoils that they took from the Amalekites and those that had invaded Ziklag, David was able to send blessings to others, and blessed others with it. In verse 26 of 1 Samuel 30, and David came to Ziklag and sent the spoils of the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoils of the enemy of the Lord. See, when God was gracious, not only did David get back everything they lost at Ziklag, but they got more than enough back to bless others. That's God's graciousness. God is good to us. Then sometimes when we get off the track, God can give us back more. But what does God want from us? He wants our attention to be on him. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30. God is a good God. So be careful. If you say in your heart, make sure God is speaking, not your self-talk. Because if your self-talk is speaking, it may not be God's word for you. And you want to make sure, if you start down a road, make sure it's God's road. So how do you know the will of God? The will of God is always going to be in line with Scripture. It's always going to be in line with the counsel of wise and godly people. It's always going to be in line with the Holy Spirit. It's always going to be in line with the circumstances in your life, that God is working all things together for good. There's lots of ways to know God's will when we're living our lives. So Isaiah 30. Verse 18, therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment or justice. Blessed are all they that what? Wait for him. It's a good word for us as God's people. Does anybody have any insights or thoughts about this passage, about David and about waiting on God? Any insights or comments? You ever been there? You ever made a wrong turn in life? Yes, Jim.
It's comforting to know that if you do mess things up, all you need to do is come to God.
Right, absolutely.
Look at me. I'm here. Help me with this.
Yes. Can anybody think of somebody in the New Testament that messed up? How about Peter? Did he mess up a little bit? I mean, what did he do? He denied the Lord. But what did Jesus tell him in John 21? Go feed my what? Sheep. He had a plan for him. He didn't give up on him. God doesn't give up on us. He's got a plan for us and a future for us. You know, we make a wrong turn. We've all made wrong turns. But God is gracious. Absolutely. Any other thoughts here?
David will remember that because, you know, God gave him a time to go through the turbulence time, you know, as you say, you know.
The bread of adversity,
and,
yes.
And he will remember that battle, like if God, you know, reacted right quickly and respond and take him out from there. Maybe, you know, his memory is not like what he go through the hard time. Sometimes, you know, I look at it in my life, whereas, you know, like I'm going through a hard time, I will never forget that. It'll take me, you know, longer to, you know it that don't go there.
Right, right.
Don't do that.
Right, right. Sometimes the painful experiences are the ones that speak to us the loudest. Somebody said it like this, God whispers in our pleasures and shouts in our pain. Is that true? Do you know what I'm saying? He shout, when we're in pain, he's shouting at us. Good thought, Victor. Thank you. Yes. Anybody else have some thoughts or insights? All righty. Well, I think it's some good thoughts for us to chew on. Bob, you want to come and give us some prayer requests here? Take some prayer requests for us. We'll close in a word of prayer before Bob comes. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here tonight. May we as God's people just wait on you in the long hours. And Father, if we do take a wrong turn in life, I thank you, Lord, that you're gracious and merciful to us and help to steer us back onto the right path. So, Lord, we know that all things work together for good in the believer's life. And we know, Lord, that you have a perfect plan for us. So help us to wait on you and to listen to your word and your spirit as you speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.